campaign is all about freedom, prosperity, and peace. A very strong advocate of following very strictly the rule of law, the Constitution of the United States. For freedom and liberty. Thank you very much.
RonPaulRadio.us. This is the Freedom Message with Stephen Vincent. Next 55 minutes, yours in liberty in support of Ron Paul, the President of the United States.
Hi, you're listening to the Freedom Message with Stephen Vincent on BBSRadio.com. Thank you for tuning in. The number to call in and participate in the show is 877-270-8714, 877-270-8714. Don't be shy. I'd love to take your call and hear about your opinions about Ron Paul and his campaign, regardless of whether you agree or not with me on anything. I'm open to discussion and debate and healthy and fair and balanced discussion. So don't be shy. 877-270-8714. So today I'm going to share with you some important developments. We have a near endorsement by Bill Maher of Ron Paul. Well, it falls short of an endorsement. There's been a number of these lately, near endorsements. It falls short of an endorsement because Bill was asked who he would vote for if he were to vote Republican, and he said Ron Paul. Now, we don't know that he would decide to vote for Ron Paul vis-a-vis Hillary Clinton versus Hillary Clinton or any other Democratic opponent, so it stopped short of an outright endorsement, but among the Republicans, Ron Paul is his clear favorite. I want to tell you the story behind this. Ron Paul supporters are responsible for waking Bill Maher up to Ron Paul. It is our work that accomplished this. Okay? I'll tell you the story. I can tell you the story firsthand because I was at the center of it. I started my meetup in North Hollywood on a Tuesday. I decided, you know, I got to do something for this Ron Paul guy. And I found out that the way to do it was via meetup. I looked in my area. There was nothing going on. So I said, well, let's go ahead and start something here in my area in North Hollywood in the San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles. That was a Tuesday. On Wednesday, I found out that Ron Paul was coming to Los Angeles. And I sent out an email to the 10 people that had already joined my group within a space of a 24-hour period and all the other groups, including the Pasadena group, the very first Ron Paul meetup, all the other Ron Paul meetups in Los Angeles, and said, hey, Ron Paul's coming to L.A. on Friday. Let's get down there and give him a hero's welcome. And so we did. And what we did all managed to do was to get about 40 people inside the audience and about 60 people outside on the street, about 100 people altogether. And we gave him a hero's welcome both inside and outside that television studio. And they were very dismissive of Dr. Paul in the show in many ways. Well, while they were interviewing him, they treated him fairly and generously. But after, he was treated very dismissively, and we wouldn't sit for it. Oh, no. No. We let them know that Ron Paul has real support. We made our voices heard right there in the studio. It was heard nationwide. We turned their heads. Bill's eyes popped out of his head. He said, we have never seen anything like this on our show before. So we woke him up to the Ron Paul revolution. We influenced the way he was thinking. He had to recognize from that point on, hey, something's going on here. Something is happening, something exciting and vital, something he had never seen before. Passionate love for a candidate and for his message of freedom. So that was the start of something, and so now we're going to go ahead and play for you the Bill Maher for Ron Paul clip, and this is what he's had to say about Ron Paul yesterday. Let's roll that.
Who do you like among the Republican candidates? Who would be the best president among the Republicans?
Ron Paul.
I knew you were. I suspected you were going to say that. I told our producers.
Well, the other ones all sound alike. You know, they all come from the part of the party. They're all appealing to the part of the party, the base that wants this war in Iraq to keep going. I asked this of Chuck Hagel on our show Friday night. I don't understand this strategy. I guess I do. You have to get the nomination first. But how does a Republican who is supporting this war to the degree they are all supporting this war then turn around after he gets the nomination and wins a general election in a country that is overwhelmingly against this war? That's a pretty tough one.
You know, we were watching the Emmys the other night. You were nominated for an Emmy.
So there you have it. A near endorsement on the part of Bill Maher of Ron Paul, at least in as much as he would vote for a Republican, it would be Ron Paul. So our work means something. It really does. So keep at it, folks. Don't think for a second that we don't have an impact. We are having an impact. We are shifting this country politically right now. And the television news reports, I've got four of them, four new television news reports about the Ron Paul revolution and Ron Paul's visit through the West, I'm going to be playing for you, are further proof of that. So let's keep it up. Let's go ahead now. Yeah, we'll do that. Let's go ahead and play the Houston TV report from yesterday's affiliate. I think it's a Fox affiliate in Houston. Let's roll that.
Texas Congressman Ron Paul is used to being outnumbered, and in the latest presidential debate, he took on the entire Republican field all by himself.
Fox 26 political reporter Greg Rugen takes a deeper look at why Paul wants America out of this war.
We've lost over 5,000 Americans over there in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and plus the civilians killed. How many more do you want to lose? How long are you going to be there? How long? What do we have to pay to save face? That's all we're doing is saving face. It's time we came home.
Texan Ron Paul hates this war. The only Republican running to call the ongoing conflict a colossal waste of blood, treasure, and goodwill.
You're all right. Don't worry about it. You're going to be okay.
We've dug a hole for ourselves, and we've dug a hole for our party. We're losing elections, and we're going down next year if we don't change it. And it has all to do with foreign policy, and we have to wake up to this fact.
While the position may be unpopular with GOP rank and file, it is thoroughly consistent with this 10-term congressman's lifelong mantra. That is, if America quits squandering hundreds of billions of dollars abroad,
and a critical base that needs to get out of here,
it could attack many of its most serious problems here at home.
Our overseas budget now, when you think of all the activity we have, is getting close to $1 trillion a year. And what I would do is cut a lot of that, like $300 or $400 or $500 billion, as much as we could, put some of that toward the deficit, and then use that to tide it over for the people who are in need.
So does that make Ron Paul an isolationist? You better believe it. A core philosophy, Paul insists America's founders intended we continue. The 72-year-old obstetrician further contends, if left uncontrolled, the sheer cost of foreign entanglements and domestic entitlements will steadily erode the dwindling value of our nation's currency.
Inflation comes when governments print money. It loses its value. They print money to pay bills that they can't afford. That is to fight wars or run a welfare state. And it is a lot of mischief. It's a reason why governments can grow, because they don't have to act responsibly.
Gambling operations are still offering 50-to-1 odds for anyone willing to wager on a Ron Paul presidency. And while he remains among the longest of shots, people are listening. 3.5 million YouTube hits, and better than half of all political contributions to GOP candidates from active duty military personnel have gone to the Peace Doctor. In Houston, Greg Grugan, Fox 26 News.
So, all in all, not a bad report. I think that the tone of news reports that we are seeing have progressively improved. However, of course, they have to spin a little bit. They can't just give it to you straight. First of all, no, he is not an isolationist. No, the policy he calls for is not isolationism. It is called non-interventionism. There is a difference. Isolationism means you do not engage in the world. China, before Nixon, was isolationist. It did not engage politically in the world. It did not engage diplomatically, politically in the world. It stayed to itself. And the United what Ron Paul is not suggesting is not isolationism, and is simply non-interventionism in the affairs of other countries. That there's a huge difference. If we are to look for a policy of isolationism, I think we can find one today, in that we are isolated politically. Our friends are dwindling, our reputation in the world is destroyed, and we are politically isolated and a pariah nation because of the current interventionist policy. So no, he is not calling for isolationism. He is calling for non-intervention. So let's get that straight. There was also a mention that gambling sites or gambling in Vegas is giving 50-to-1 odds on Ron Paul winning the presidency. Now, that could be correct. However, it's also true that gambling 911, which is considered to be the preeminent web domain for gambling handicapping, has taken his odds down to 8-to-1. Now, I believe that's 8-to-1 to win the Republican nomination. I believe. If someone knows for sure, you could let me know about that by calling in to 877-270-8714. But I know for a fact his odds on gambling 911. And by the way, those odds are driven by people putting down money. People putting down money. Those are votes with money. Those are serious votes. 8-to-1 odds he's given on gambling 911. Anyone can go to that website and check that out. so fairly decent report from Houston, Texas. And now we have three reports of varying quality from Salt Lake City. I find it, I know we played one yesterday, so there's a total of four major media news reports from Salt Lake City. Something I find somewhat surprising given the fact that one would assume that Mitt Romney would pretty much have a lock on Utah. And, you know, the reports were favorable. I mean, positive for the most part. I'll certainly chime in and let you know when I don't find the reports to be accurate in any way. But let's go ahead and roll the first Salt Lake City TV clip.
A Republican presidential candidate who has developed a significant national following stopped in Salt Lake City today. Texas Congressman Ron Paul was once the Libertarian candidate for president. Today he is a Republican, though often at odds with the rank and file of his party. Along with condemning his party's deficit spending, Paul is the only anti-war Republican candidate and one of the few Republicans in Congress who voted against the war.
And right now, I think we went in for the wrong reasons. It's not going well, so we should come home. And a lot of people say, well, you can't do that and support the troops. But even in today's reality, you'd be surprised how many came up. Young kids, married, and they have children. And they say, I have to go back to Iraq. And they're supporting me.
Before going into politics, Paul was a practicing medical doctor. He is in town for a couple of fundraisers tonight.
This candidate may not have the odds in his favor, but presidential hopeful Ron Paul has a very loyal group of supporters. Many of them have become so-called volunteers on the internet. Today, Paul made a campaign stop here in Utah, and ABC4's McKay Allen followed along.
Ron Paul, rock the revolution!
Republican candidate Ron Paul found a lot of support in Salt Lake City today. He says it's because his message is different.
If they care about personal liberty and they're concerned about the direction of the country, they should vote for me.
So how different is Ron Paul? For starters, he's miles away from his fellow Republicans on Iraq. He was one of only six Republican congressmen to vote against the war. Paul also told today's crowd, if elected, he would do away with the Federal Reserve and the IRS. That drew quite a few cheers. If his views are different than the rest of the field, so is the way he's campaigning.
Ron Paul's made good use of his army of volunteers dedicated to getting him elected. But he's made the biggest splash online.
Let's compare things on the internet. If we had the election on the internet, we'd win.
Ron Paul is one of the five most searched names on all of the web. And online polls show him challenging the leading Republican candidates. His supporters have created an entire campaigning culture out of blogging and now YouTubing.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here. Criminals in this world appear, and break the laws that they should fear, and frighten all who see or hear. The cry goes up
afar and near
for underdog.
Call you a long shot and all, but, you know, that's all fair. I think we have to prove ourselves.
But if today is any indication, he will continue to greet enthusiastic crowds.
They think I energize them, but they energize me.
Paul will need that energy. Most polls show him with about 1% of the national vote. But supporters say, don't underestimate Ron Paul.
Long shots have won before, and if that's what they're going to describe me as, it can happen.
Vegas says Paul's shot of winning, about 200-1. In Salt Lake City, McKay Allen, ABC 4 News.
Paul's visit to Salt Lake City was very brief. He arrived on a flight from Seattle at 2 o'clock this morning. He left tonight after appearing at two fundraisers.
Now, the presidential hopeful stopped through Salt Lake today to rally support. Republican Ron Paul says he admires Utah's traditions of sound money and self-reliance, and he said this was a natural campaign stop. He hosted a reception for voters at $1,000 a person, followed then by a public rally. Paul says the biggest issue facing Utah is government intrusion on citizens' lives and wallets. He's also an outspoken critic of the war in Iraq.
I would bring our troops home as quickly as possible because I believe we went in there under false pretenses. There was not a declaration of war, and it was no real threat.
While Paul is struggling in the polls, he's enjoying a growing grassroots campaign fueled by the internet. He considers his online campaign his secret political weapon.
So, three substantially positive reports from three different Salt Lake City TV stations. I think that they give the doctor a chance to speak without putting too much in the way of words in his mouth. I don't know where they got this pollen tears phrase from. I've never heard that used before. It doesn't float my boat, let's put it that way, but what the heck, pollen tears, all right. It just seems like they can't just do a report without taking some kind of a jab. So they mentioned the fact that Dr. Paul has a lot of supporters putting videos on YouTube, and what do they choose to sort of illustrate that but a cheesy clip where the underdog theme from the old cartoon is used. It to me sort of diminishes the seriousness of the candidacy and the seriousness of his support when they choose, out of the literally tens of thousands of clips they could have chosen, many of which are very serious and very good, they choose something that uses a cartoon character and emphasizes that he's an underdog. So, I guess you got to complain about something. So I'm picking up something to complain about. I shouldn't complain. All in all, not too bad. So we are making some progress in reaching and penetrating the news media. I'm disappointed with the coverage we got in Los Angeles. I didn't even play you the Fox clip from Los Angeles because, frankly, it wasn't any good. It totally failed to capture what happened that day. It gave you no sense whatsoever of what it was like. First of all, they said there were 500 people, which was about half, less than half of the people that were actually there. And it just didn't give you a real sense of the excitement, and it was just bad. And, we did get three news reports in small newspapers, but nothing in the L.A. Times that I know of. It's possible there was something that I know of, though I did hear that Barack Obama was in town on the same day, in another part of town, but he was in town apparently on the same day. So as far as I know, that was true. I don't know. I only got that anecdotally. But all in all, the reports from this West Coast tour have been really good. I think it's been the most successful of his tours. To participate in the show, why don't you give a call at 877-270-8714, 877-270-8714. Now, Dr. Paul apparently raised $350,000 on his West Coast tour. There's an article from USA Daily that I'll read to you. Presidential candidate Ron Paul raised $350,000 during a West Coast tour that lasted several days. Paul's campaign had raised only $3 million as of the last campaign filing, but had $2.5 million cash on hand. There are signs that Paul's campaign is gaining momentum, both in support and fundraising. Paul's West Coast tour had events and rallies in Utah, Seattle, and San Francisco. Hello, in Los Angeles as well. Excuse me. It was not uncommon for the candidate to garner crowds in excess of 1,000 supporters for rallies. Campaign strategy may have adjusted already to the changes in the primary calendars. While the First in the Nation caucus is in Iowa and the First in the Nation primary in New Hampshire are vitally important for the presidential primary election, with 22 states moving their primary elections up to Super Tuesday on February 5th, campaigns are giving attention to many other regions of the country. Given the increase in fundraising and the size of the crowds Paul is attracting, it looks like Paul's conservative/libertarian message is likely to play out well in western states. His next campaign filing will reflect his growth in popularity. So not a bad report there, giving you a sense of where things are in the campaign and in the West. So also, important to know that this tomorrow in South Carolina, there is something called the Palmetto Family something. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me see if I can find this for you. There, it's a kind of a straw poll, and I had that information in my email box. I'm looking for it right now. It's in South Carolina, so if you're in South Carolina, they're calling for all Ron Paul supporters to converge on Columbia, South Carolina, tomorrow for the Palmetto... Oh, God, here it is. Okay. Here, found it. All right. Palmetto Family Council Stump Meeting and Straw Poll, September 20th at the Columbia Metropolitan Convention Center, Lincoln Street, Columbia, South Carolina. Doors open at 5 o'clock. Event begins at 6 o'clock. Straw poll ballots cast at 8:30 p.m. Straw poll results announced at 9 p.m. So I'm going to see if we can get some people from South Carolina on the line to tell us more about that tomorrow during the show, that which would be, I believe, just before the event begins, and the event will actually be starting as we're on the air, so maybe we can get a live report from South Carolina for you on that tomorrow. The Palmetto Family Council. So this is another very family-oriented, slogan here of faith, family, and freedom. So I would suspect the tone and the constituency is going to be very similar to the debate that we had on Monday. So let's go ahead and listen now to some more of Dr. Paul's comments from the debate yesterday, the voter values debate, and we'll roll that, and then we'll stop, and I'll after each segment, and I'll have a little discussion about that. The number to call into the show and participate, 877-270-8714, 877-270-8714. So let's go ahead and roll that from the top, the voter values debate.
Starting at the left side of the stage this time, and we'll alternate with each question to try to make it fair for everyone. Buddy Smith of the American Family Association, get us started.
Good evening, gentlemen. Marriage has been a socially protected union between a man and a woman for the physical, psychological, emotional, and spiritual reproduction of children in every culture and nearly every time in history. States have a special interest, and human beings have a psychological, emotional, and spiritual interest in man-woman couples that stay together to rear children. If elected, will you support a federal marriage amendment? And what else will you do to protect the institution of marriage?
Dr. Ron Paul.
I think the best thing the president can do is set a good example, and I would start with having been married 50 years and proud of it. I believe also that I do not see any need for another constitutional amendment. I think we have fallen into a trap that we have to redefine marriage, or we're on the defense of defining marriage. Why don't you just tell them to look it up in the dictionary and find out what marriage says? For federal legal purposes, the Defense of Marriage Act is proper and takes care of all the problems. If you have to have rules and regulations, put it at the state level like the Constitution says. But you know, marriage only came about, and getting licenses only came about in recent history for health reasons. It has nothing to do with it. True Christians, I believe that marriage is a church function. It's not a state function. I don't think you need a license to get married. We should define it.
Let's just then pause that there. So, I think it's important. Once again, you know, we get statist solutions from both the left and the right. So don't forget, there's totalitarianism of the left, which was known as communism and socialism, and totalitarianism of the right, which was known as fascism. And, you know, I don't want to say these people are fascists or anything, but, you know, they kind of tend a little bit in that direction, in that they want to sort of have their way through state power, statist solutions, relying on the state. That's a rough definition of what it means to be a statist, that you look to the state to solve problems rather than looking to freedom. Okay? So what does Ron Paul say? Marriage is a church function and not a function of the state. Now, I'm sure he wouldn't argue that you can also have state marriages, you know, non-religious, non-church marriages, and that, you know, city and local governments can provide for that, to marry a couple outside of a church of some sort. So, but he makes the point. Let's look to the private sector for the solution to the issue. And he makes the point that, you know, the marriage license is a relatively new thing, and it's basically evolved because of the demands placed upon the institution of marriage by the IRS, you know, for tax purposes and all of these financial accounting purposes. So what does he say? Hey, set a good example. That's the best thing a president can do. You know, let's stop trying to legislate the morality. Let's, you know, set a good example and let that stand for itself, rather than trying to impose, you know, if people want to be gay, they're going to be gay. Okay, if they're going to be gay, they're going to want to get together. If they're going to want to get together, they're going to want to get married in some way, shape, or form. They're going to want to live together. They're going to want to have unions of some kind. What are you going to do? You're going to legislate that away, make it illegal, and drive it underground? I mean, what good does that do? All right, you know, regardless of what your personal opinion is about homosexuality, about homosexual unions, whatever, what good, practically speaking, is legislating away gay unions? You know, what is that going to do? It's really not going to end homosexuality. It's not going to prevent homosexuals from getting together and shacking up. It's not going to prevent them from having unions of some sort, if that's the way they choose to live. It's just not going to work. So all this does is make you feel good about your own morality. You know, makes you feel like, yeah, I'm living the right life. I'm living the way God intended, and I'm better than everybody else. You know, isn't that what it really comes down to? I'm better than everybody else, and I want to use state power to impose that on everybody else because I'm better. That's what it comes down to. How about freedom? Why don't we give it a try? You know, live and let live. Let people be the way they want to be, you know, and just set the best example that you can set for the way that you think is the right way to live. Now, on the other hand, there's absolutely no way at all that homosexuality should be promoted by the state, and that is happening. So it cuts both ways. I mean, you cannot have schools teaching, you know, this diversity, crap, you know, to children, you know, purposefully teaching them that lesbianism and homosexuality are good things, and this is how lesbians have sex, and this is, you know, how legitimate it is to have, you know, two daddies or two mommies in a family. I mean, this is wrong. This is just simply not the place of the state to be educating children about that sort of thing, you know. And there's certainly, you know, the ridiculousness of legislating that these hate laws, that if you would attack a homosexual, somehow that's worse than attacking a heterosexual. You know, people attack people because they hate. They're angry. All right? What difference does it make why you hate, or who you're hating and why? You're hating, and you're angry, and you're attacking. Now, to make it worse to attack a an African American homosexual, because you called him well, I'm not going to say, you know, what you could call him in those circumstances, and would be wrong to do so. And you know, to make that worse than attacking, you know, a heterosexual white male, that's just absolutely absurd. Absurd and wrong and unconstitutional. So it cuts both ways. That's freedom, okay? Get the state out of it. So let's go ahead and continue this and roll the rest of it. I'll tell you when to stop. Let's roll the next part.
As you will see by the ultrasound video on the screen, science confirms the undeniable unique human being or person in the womb. In Roe versus Wade, author Harry Blackmun himself stated, if this suggestion of personhood is established, the appellant's case, of course, collapses. By the author's own words, Roe versus Wade has collapsed. If elected, what will you do to make our laws consistent with our science and restore legal protection and full rights of personhood to every American waiting to be born?
Dr. Ron Paul.
As an OB doctor of 30 years and having delivered 4,000 babies, I can assure you life begins at conception. I am legally responsible for the unborn from the, no matter what I do. So there's a legal life there. The unborn has inheritance rights. And if there's an injury or a killing, there is legal entity. There's no doubt about it. I am surprised that I don't have more co-sponsor for the Sanctity of Life Act that I have, which would solve all this problem and would have eliminated a lot of abortions by now if we'd have passed it, and we wouldn't need any amendment. It removes the jurisdiction from the federal courts. If the states were allowed to pass this, immediately it would go into effect. Instead of waiting years and years and years for an amendment, this would happen immediately by majority vote in the Congress and a president's signature. There's much easier ways to accomplish this by following what our Constitution directs us to do instead of looking for massive new laws. Let's just use what we have and pass this type of legislation.
So, you know, the question is about restoring the rights of personhood to the unborn. And again, Ron Paul's response is a constitutional response. Now, that's the thing I really love about Ron Paul and truly respect, is that he makes no effort whatsoever to pander to this crowd and tell them what they want to hear. You know, what they want to hear is, yes, I will use state power in every way that I possibly can to prevent abortions and throw everyone who has ever committed an abortion into jail. Actually, execute them all. You know, I'm exaggerating, right? But, you know, this is the kind of thing they want to hear. They want to hear. They are predisposed to hearing that. Yes, I will use state power to make you feel good about yourself and superior to everybody else. Okay? Make yourself, I will legitimize your self-righteousness with my use of state power. Well, he doesn't do that. You know, he says, look, yes, the fetus is a legal entity. It's obviously a legal entity. If I damage it while I'm as an OBGYN, as a doctor, I'm held responsible. I am liable for that. Okay? He says that clearly that his personal belief is that life begins at conception, as it is mine. And but he says, what's the solution? Well, I'd like to know more about this, and if anybody does know more about this Sanctity of Life Act, I've actually never heard of this before, call into the show, 877-270-8714. Give us a call, let me know. Sanctity of Life Act, very interested to know more about this. As I understand from his comments, what it does is removes the jurisdiction on this issue from the federal courts and returns it to the states. So what he's saying is, and what he has said previously, is that the federal courts never had a right to hear Roe v. Wade. It wasn't an issue for the federal courts, and they never should have taken the case. It's a state-level decision. It's a state and local issue to decide on the issue of abortion. And so what he's suggesting is to have the Sanctity of Life Act remove jurisdiction on the abortion issue from the federal level and return it to the states. So I think a position that anybody who supports freedom would wholeheartedly support. So let's go ahead and continue with this and play the rest of that next section of the clip.
Rabbi Spiro.
There is no question that jihadists have as their goal the harming of America and its citizens. What would your strategy be to protect our streets, our people, and our American way of life from the designs of radical Islam? Representative Paul.
We indeed do have a problem, but if we go at this incorrectly, we're going to do more damage to ourselves than we are to our enemies. We have to understand the motives who will come here and kill us. And if we don't understand that, we are not going to win this fight. They come here and kill us because we occupy their lands. And they rationally reason and come and say, we have to do something about it. If you're going to regulate Islamic thinking in this country, be careful, because all the rules you set will be used against Christians. So protect civil liberties. If you use the violation of civil liberties when it comes to habeas corpus and secrecy and all, we are going to suffer from this. If we could have done something before 9/11. We should have gotten the government out of the way on regulating our airlines. We should have had more respect for private property, the Constitution, and especially the Second Amendment, and we wouldn't have had to face the crisis on 9/11 nearly as bad. So indeed, it is a problem, but the answer can be found in the Constitution, I can guarantee you.
Okay, let's go ahead and pause that. So, let me talk about a loaded question. There is no question, according to this rabbi asking the question, as if he doesn't come from some kind of a biased opinion. And what's a rabbi doing among all these, Christian conservatives? Very confusing. There is no question. In other words, this cannot be questioned. We will accept no one questioning the validity of the assumption that jihadists want to harm the United States. Okay? Can't question that. This is doctrine. Okay? This is the word of God, essentially. And no question that jihadists want to harm the United States. Well, I think, there are some questions about that. First of all, to the extent that they do, why? That'd be a good question. Why? Well, as Ron Paul points out, because we occupy their lands, because we've been bombing them for how long? Because we overthrew the Shah, the legitimately elected government of Iran back in 54 and installed the bloody dictator, the Shah of Iran, because of a similar ongoing list of interventionist atrocities that we have perpetrated on the region. Because we have been, exploiting that region of the world for its oil resources, and ensuring the interests of oil companies, using the bodies and limbs of our young men to do so. Okay, so there are lots of things that are worth questioning in this. Now, he also points out that, if you want to sort of clamp down on Islamism in the United States, anything that you do, it's going to be used against you. He's telling these people. He's telling them, you support this. You support the suppression of freedom in the United States in the zealous, desire to be safe from the Islamists here in the United States. If you support that, it's going to come back on you. It's going to be used against you eventually. What did they say in Nazi Germany? Father Niemöller, I think, or something like that. Father Niemöller, I'm probably getting that name wrong, but his famous quote is something to the effect of, first they came for the communists, but I wasn't a communist, so I did or said nothing. And then they came for the gypsies. And I wasn't a gypsy, so I didn't do or say anything about that either. And then they came for the Christians. I wasn't a Christian, so I didn't do or say anything about that. Then they came for the Jews. I didn't do anything about that. I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for me. And there was nobody left to say or do anything about it. So I think that people need to keep that in mind. You know, when you're ready to pigeonhole a group and direct your fear and your anger against that group, the measures, unconstitutional, anti-freedom measures that you're willing to take against that group out of your fear are going to be used against you eventually. They're to the detriment of our entire society. This is what Ron Paul's pointing out. So let's go ahead and roll some more of that.
All right, our next questioner is Pastor Doug Souter of Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale.
Yes, faith is a big part of the lives of all the people that are here, and we're interested to know, tell us about your personal faith and what it means to your life.
I get to my God through Christ. Christ to me is a man of peace. He is for peace. He's not for war. He doesn't justify preemptive declared war. I strongly believe that there is a Christian doctrine of just war, and I believe this nation has drifted from that. No matter what the rationales are, we have drifted from that, and it's very, very dangerous, and I see in many ways being unchristian. Christ is for love and forgiveness and turning another cheek, for peace. And to justify what we do in the name of Christianity, I think is very dangerous and not part of what Christianity is all about. Christ came here for spiritual reasons, not secular war and boundaries and geography. And yet we are now dedicating so much of our aggressive activity in the name of God. But God, He is the Prince of Peace. That is what I see from my God, and through Christ, I vote for peace.
Wonderful. Go ahead. All right. There. So, you know, I was really struck by that, and that's going in my file of favorite Ron Paul audio bits. You know, just nice to hear somebody say it, you know, that, you know, Christ stands for peace. How he has been manipulated over the years to justify the most phenomenal atrocities, the most phenomenal aggression, is incomprehensible to me. But apparently, you know, if you want to look into the Bible and dig up whatever quotes or phrases that you can find, somehow you can twist them in a way that justifies something like the war in Iraq. So, you know, I think it's just really valuable to have somebody who believes, as Ron Paul really does believe, and that, again, now if that were a platitude, then certainly that was the wrong place to give a platitude of that nature. You know, I mean, he didn't tell them what they wanted. They want to hear that Christ, you know, I am a Christian soldier, and I wield the sword of Christ to defeat the infidels who are evil and are trying to destroy our Western Christian morality and way of life and all blah, 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 blah. Something like that, okay? That's what they want to hear, okay? Most of them. But he didn't. He didn't pander. He said what he really believes, which is Christ is peace. Got to respect that. Got to respect that. And, you know, he's not a total dove. I mean, you know, he recognizes that there's times you're going to have to go to war. You're going to have to fight to defend yourself. But, you know, I don't think it, you know, it's amazing how they turn attacking an essentially defenseless nature, nation, thousands of miles away, and turn that into defending yourself. Now, that's a defensive action. No, that's invasion, that's conquest, occupation, and genocide. it's patently obvious to anybody, unless you are absolutely, totally, and completely brainwashed. Now, certainly a portion of that audience is brainwashed, and certainly a portion is not, because what the heck? Ron Paul came in second place, didn't he? Must have reached somebody. Somebody must have heard the freedom message and said, you know what? Maybe he's speaking the truth. Maybe it's time for me to change my mind about some of these assumptions I'm making. I think we're making some inroads. I think we're reaching people. I think it's very valuable. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in Columbia, South Carolina tomorrow, where we'll be at a similar type of a function. And we can hope that maybe we'll see something positive come of this and a shift on the part of the Christian right back towards freedom and away from statism, you know, away towards this, frankly, fascist trend that people are just simply not questioning. Simply not questioning torture. Simply not questioning preemptive war. Simply not questioning gutting entire sections of the Constitution, eliminating habeas corpus, the right to due process, eliminating that in the quest of self-preservation, of shoring up your fears. Okay? The worst things that ever happened out of fear. The more we act from fear, the worse we're going to be off as a nation. And Ron Paul is calling for us to be, you know, compassionate, understanding, to listen to those who would be our enemies, and to not act from irrational fear. So, anyway, let's see what else I got for you today. If you want to call in and chat a little bit, 877-270-8714 is the number. Oh, well, let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about the financial situation. As you know, you may not know, but the U.S. dollar did take a significant plunge yesterday, and it's a big deal. Basically, right now, the world financial situation is coming unglued. The dollar is dropping past a point where we might see a significant devaluation of the dollar in a very short period of time. As a matter of fact, one could almost go to the point of saying that it's almost completely inevitable at this point. It's at, on the dollar index right now, 79.3. It dropped as low as 79.1. There is what's known as a secondary level of support at 78. So it's already broken through support at the 80 level, and it's destined for a date with the 78 level anytime in the next few days to a week. What happens at 78 is going to determine the financial future of this country for the foreseeable future. There doesn't seem to be anything that I can think of, any reason why there will be a sudden rush to buy dollars. There's no what's known in the financial markets as there's no fundamentals for a rising dollar right now. The only thing it's got going for it is that it's dropped so darn far that eventually what goes down has to go up. Why? Because people short sell. They sell short a financial instrument. Anything can be sold short. To sell short means basically you're betting on something going down. So you sold what you don't have, and in order to close out that position and take your gains or your losses, you have to cover. That means to buy. You need to buy what you sold short. So that buying action on the short sales could give a short-term reaction off of the 78 level if they manage to sort of talk the market in some way. I can't imagine how they're going to talk the market up, the dollar market, speaking of the U.S. dollar internationally. They might take it back up over 80 again for a little while. It is possible, but It doesn't look good. I can't think of a way to make it happen. It just seems like it's destined to break down. So it's what's known as a breakdown. It's been bouncing around from the 80 level up to the 90s for 12 years. I think it made up past the 100 level for a little while. 100 level means that it would be on a par with world currencies. So it was at 100 right now. Right now it's at 79.3. That's well below par with other currencies internationally. So it's pretty inconceivable at this point. There are no fundamentals that I can think of. Now, I want to get in touch with some experts and have some experts on the show to really break this down for us. I'm going to be working on that for you, but it sure looks like we're in some kind of financial crisis. Where it goes from here, lots of different things can happen. Tough to call, but we are at the beginning of something right now. How long it's going to take to unwind? Is it going to be sudden? Is it going to be something that unwinds in a period of a couple of weeks or a couple of months, or is it going to be a couple of years of slow deterioration? Tough to say. But things are dramatically happening financially in the world, in this country right now. So this, unfortunately and fortunately, bodes well for the Ron Paul candidacy, because as I indicated yesterday when I discussed this issue with you, Ron Paul is the go-to guy in Washington on the debt bubble, on fiat money, and on the gold standard. So when these issues start coming up again, he's the go-to guy. He's going to get the press. That's going to help us. It's going to help us a lot. So we need to be ready. We need to be ready to man the phones, to man our email accounts, and demand that Ron Paul be interviewed on all the financial stations with regards to the crisis of the U.S. dollar and the debt bubble crisis and such related issues. So we're almost out of time here, coming up on the end of the show. I want to thank you again for listening in. The website is www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com. www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com. And you can also join the Ron Paul Freedom Message Meetup at ronpaul.meetup.com/496. So if you join that, you'll get emails and notifications from me about all the interesting things that I'll be up to. And I'll tell you, we've got a lot of really interesting things coming up. Now, tomorrow, you'll be able to participate in a live chat via ronpaulvoices.com. So you'll go to ronpaulvoices.com. You'll log on there. You'll register there. Only 75 people can register at ronpaulvoices.com. And then you'll be able to meet in this live audio chat room tomorrow. And we're going to do that at 4 o'clock Pacific time, about halfway through the show. And we're just going to have a chat. I don't know how it's going to work, or, you know, I mean, it could be just a lot of fun just chatting. But we'll put that out over the air. So it'll go out live over the air from that chat room, live audio chat at ronpaulvoices.com. So go ahead and register and come on to the onto the show tomorrow via ronpaulvoices.com. And then on Friday, weather permitting, I did hear something about rain, which is pretty rare in Southern California, but weather permitting, we're going to have a live webcast of our sign waving in the San Fernando Valley and in Sherman Oaks at the corner of Sepulveda and Ventura. So we'll be out there, Ron Paul supporters, yelling, screaming, shouting for Ron Paul, waving our signs, passing out literature, talking to people, and we'll, of course, have interviews with all of our fun Ron Paul supporters, so that you can listen to them about why they support Ron Paul, why they're out there on a Friday afternoon in traffic supporting Ron Paul. So that'll be tomorrow. So thanks again for listening to the show, The Freedom Message with Steve and Vincent. And we'll be posting from now on the shows on the website so that if you miss it, you will be able to listen to it on the website. And again, the website is www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com. So until tomorrow, Have a great day, and thank you for listening.
Start spreading the news. It's time for a change. We'll make a brand new start of it. Ron Paul, Ron Paul. It's your right to choose. It's the American way. The constitutional heart of it. Ron Paul, Ron Paul. I want to wake up in a country that doesn't sleep, to fight for our civil rights and liberty. These little man blues are melting away. We'll make a brand new start of it. Ron Paul, Ron Paul. If we all lend a hand and stand up with this man, it's up to us to vote Ron Paul. Ron Paul, I want to wake up in a country that's truly free, to find our President Paul in the White House, Capitol Hill, President Paul. To us to vote Ron Paul.